We'd like to thank Karen and Jake Avalevitz for sponsoring this morning's Logs to Learn. Lilu and Ishmael, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyah ben Abba and Leah bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, their neshama should have an Aliyah. So we are now in Mishnah 3. I think I mislabeled it here. If you look at source number 1, totally brand new Mishnah. It's a continuation of the same person speaking. It's Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And he gives us what seems to be a pretty straightforward Mishnah. And my goal today is for us to analyze this using many of the tools that we've already learned and that we've already tried to internalize as we read a text. So the text says, remember, start thinking about as many possible questions as you can as we read it. The text says, Hevu zihirin virashut, she'en mekarvin lo la'adam elo litzorach atzman. You should be careful, circumspect, they translate here, with your dealings with the Rashut. Rashut here translated, and most commentaries understand classically, that it's referring to positions of authority, government positions. So be careful when dealing with officials. Why? She'ein mekarvin lo la'adam elo litzorach atzman. Their motivation, the only reason they become close to you, the only reason they want to talk to you, is to get your vote. Right? They bring you close for their own benefit. Nirin ke ohavin b'sha'as hana'asan. When it's good for them, it looks like they love you. You're good friends. You're buddies. Ve'en ondim lo la'adim b'sha'as dachko. But when you're in need, they're going to abandon you. Okay, so this is, again, seems to be a pretty straightforward Mishnah. But we're going to have to ask a bunch of questions. So number one, we want to ask ourselves, what was the Mishnah previous to this? What did we do last week? It's the same person speaking, so we're going to... Right, so last week we spoke about Sibur, about community work. So what do we want to ask ourselves? Is there a connection between the previous Mishnah and this Mishnah? So that's always a question we want to ask ourselves. A connection between working with the Tzibur and being careful with the Rashut. We're going to see some of Farshim are going to put these two together to help us understand what this Mishnah is teaching us. What else can we ask about this Mishnah? Yeah?
What does it mean, Yuzehirin?
Okay, so what does it mean to be careful? What should we be careful about? What's practically, what do you want us to do? So that's a good question. Any other sort of first off the cuff questions that we might have? Okay, so we're going to ask more, but let's keep going for a second. Look at the Rambam in source number 2, and I think this Rambam is going to allude to us another question and also show us how the commentators are going to develop over time, something we've addressed in the past from the dissertation of Rabbi Gideon Rothstein. We brought it in, I think, once a few months ago, where he argues that in the earlier commentators treat Pirkei Avos almost like shot, that they're just trying to explain the simple explanation, and then later commentators start doing more drash, more reading in to the text to extrapolate more lessons that might not be explicit. So here we have in the Rambam a pretty straightforward shot. There's really nothing crazy here. It says, source number 2, Kfar be'arnu ki rashut hi ha-shilton. We've already explained that authority means government. V'hu modia midoseim u'marchik mehem, and it's telling us, it's exposing to us what their characters are and why we should stay away from them. But within this Rambam, there's a hint to another question we could ask. What does the Rambam tell us? Kvar be'arnu ki rashut hi ha-shilton. We've already explained it. So where did we already explain it? I did some of the work for you. Look at source number 3. We've seen this concept already in Pirkei Avos. Shmaya Ba'abtai, this is chapter 1, Mishnah 10. Shmaya Ba'abtai on Kiblu Mehem. Shmaya Omer Ehobet Malacha. You should love working. Usna et Harabanut. You should stay away from Rabbanut positions, being superior. Ba'al Titvadeh L'Rashut. You should not connect to authority. So what's the question that we have to ask?
The authority here is already bad from the beginning.
Authority is bad.
Yeah.
Right, okay, good. But so so you're talking about the message, which is good. So maybe it's an obvious message. That could be a question we could ask. But in terms of Pirkei Avos, If we've already had a Mishnah that basically says something similar, what is he adding? So on the one hand, we have Mishnah 10 in Parak 1 that says, Al titvadel rashut, and here it says, Hevu zehirin barashut. So what the commentators are going to, some of the commentators are going to address is this redundant? And if not, what is this adding that Al titvadel rashut didn't already bring in? Okay? So we want to ask, what's the context directly here? How is the Mishnah previous, or does the Mishnah previously about working with the Tzibor affect us right now in this Mishnah about being careful with the government? As well as we need to keep into context the previous Mishnayos that seem to have dealt with this already. As we
Politicians.
So the question is, does it mean politicians? Does it mean other things besides politicians? Right. We're sort of reading in. We're reading into it, and the way I, you know, gave the muscle as I said it was, you know, they're doing it for your vote. But that's, you know, an anachronism. They're not talking about, you know, getting a vote right here. That was one possible.
I don't like the term "usnat et rabbanut." They translated here as "rabbanut is rabbanut." It implies rabbinical as opposed to any superior or any type of.
It might. So that's, we would have to go back to that Mishnah when we did it, you know, 8 to 10 months ago, and but I hear you. We're not going to focus on that part now, on the Rabbanu part. Okay, so let's look at source number 4, the Magen Avot of the Rashbat. So he is going to address a bunch of our questions. We're not done with the questions. We'll raise them as we go along. Rabbeinu Yonah is going to ask a totally different question, which is interesting. But look at source number 4 here, the Magen Avos. Hevu zehirin b'rashut ha-perush, kvar hizhir shmaya v'amar al titvadel rashut. So he says straight up, Shmaya already told this to us. So we're going to have to address what's the difference. Uma ba'zeh lahosif al-dvar. What's this adding? V'nira li. So it seems to me, Kishmaya diber al inyane harabanut. So the context there in that Mishnah, as Jake pointed out, was in terms of rabanut, inyane rabanut. Shelo yitvadel rashut kedei sheyitnu lo rabanut. You shouldn't go become close to the government officials in order that they give you a position of rabbinic authority. Because that's how it used to work, that if you wanted a position, or at least in some places, you wanted a position of rabbinic authority, you had to talk to the government, and the government gave you the job. Right? You weren't hired by the shul necessarily, it was based on the government. So if you wanted to give you also a context for this, remember we spoke about last year, around this time of year, the Kohen Gadol was a similar thing back in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, was that you had to buy the Kohuna Gadola, and so it was a similar thing. You had to, you know, should I become close with the government? Because if I'm close with the government, they're going to be able to give me this position. So in Parak 1, Mishnah 10, Shmaya tells us, don't do that. Don't get close to the government in order to get a position of rabbinic leadership, because in the context there it was snaat harabanut va'al titvadel rashut. You don't want that position of rabbinic leadership anyway, so don't get close to the government position, the government people, in order to get that. Kitzarach, continuing, kitzarach lisno harabanut. The whole mashamet shemebi'ali. That whole context of positions of rabbinic leadership, you should dislike and stay away from. Again, why that is, we'll save that for last year. For Rabbi Gamliel Balomar. So Rabbi Gamliel is now adding. That Mishnah was talking about Rabbanut. I'm talking about something different. Sha'af al-pi, third line, Sha'atem tzrichim lehizakek l'rashut mipnei tzorchei tzibur. Now I'm not talking about you trying to get a job and you kissing up to people to get a job. What am I talking about? Previous Mishnah. What was our previous Mishnah? Community affairs. So the context of our Mishnah is not you trying to get a job, but it's you trying to save or help the community. So yeah, there might be a time where you have to speak to government officials because you might not want them to create, you know, a pavement in the middle of King's Highway or whatever it is. So you're speaking up for the community, so you have to speak to the government because you're representing the community. So for in this context, He continues. He says, "I'm speaking to the king. We should make tzorach etzibur." B'shmai lo amar al kiyotze b'zesh al tefilah rashid. B'shmai wasn't talking about that context. He wasn't talking about you needing to step up for the tzibur. Ki mitzvah he lehitvada lehem lepakech al tzorach etzibur. Of course, it's a mitzvah to connect to government officials if you're doing it for the sake of the community. That was a Shmai wouldn't tell you not to do that. Afilu b'Shabbos mutar lelech le tartios ulekarsios lepakechlem. There's halachos that if there's an emergency on Shabbos for the community, you're allowed to even go on Shabbos to address them and to speak to them, because that's cheftzei shamayim. That is considered something that is the work of heaven. So don't confuse two different things. On the one hand, atit vadel rashut, Shmai was talking about, don't try to kiss up to people to get a job. That's true. But if you're representing the tzibur, then you have to connect to the government. But now you have to think, though. It still says, be careful. Right? So now you are connecting, but you have to be careful. And we still have to address, as you pointed out before, what exactly do we need to be careful about? Right? So you have to respect them and be careful. Exactly. So let's see. Right. So let's see source number 5, the Pirkei Moshe. He addresses a little bit more as to what we have to stay away from, what we have to be careful about. So he says, Amnam, Hizhirim Hatana El Ha'oskim Imatzibur Al Davar Echad. So he, just like the Rashbats, he tells us that the context in this Mishnah is directly related to the Tzibur of the previous Mishnah. So you have to address, you have to talk to the government or the Rashut. But you also have to be careful. Asher yitzdarchu ma'od lizarbo, v'hu. Ki liyosha oskim matzibur yitzdarchu behefrach laseis v'laseisim rashus. You're going to have to deal with the government if you're dealing with the community. Hamelech v'lasar asher yitzibur tachtav. Anybody who's the king, or the government officials. Asher yotziyim asher yaviyim. Alkein amar shu zihirim o'od v'rashus v'melech v'lasar hu b'shnei dvar. So the two things you have to be careful about. What are the two things you have to be careful about? Fourth line. Ha'echad. Shelo yiftachu basar hahu, basar hahu, you shouldn't trust in them. V'shiyase ba'avuram eza dvar mitzat ahava, o hitchabrut, o hitkarvut, shiyalehem imo. When we're talking about connecting to them, it seems like they're loving you, they're attaching to you, they're coming close to you. Ki l'rocha kayachas asher b'neihem, iyafshar shiyah b'neihem ahava klav. He's setting up, he's saying that it's impossible for them to actually love you. But even though it seems that way, don't get fooled, because it's impossible. Why? She'ein ha-hitkarvuta hu rak l'tzorach atzman. They are biased. V'lo mitzat ava. It's not out of love. Ki'ein ahava ela be-domin. It's an interesting formulation. Love is only capable among similar people. People who have equal relationships, status. They just look like they love you when it's good for them. Now, obviously, this is giving a pretty bleak view of government officials. It doesn't distinguish, as of yet, are we talking about Jewish government officials, non-Jewish government officials? I guess the assumption is we're talking about non-Jewish government officials, but it doesn't say anything. It doesn't distinguish between them. And the question that we're going to ask is that, what about anybody who, let's say we did have a government official person here, so how would they internalize or stomach this Mishnah, right? Or if you are a commentator dealing with a government that you like, that's good, that does good things for the community. So are you going to read this Mishnah differently than a commentator who's in a community where the government officials are not trustworthy? So the context of how you have personally dealt with government officials might affect how you want to read this Mishnah. So right now, until this point, we've only given a pretty bleak view of any government officials. It's impossible for them to love you. Right? They're only biased. They can't have a L'shem Shamayim perspective at all. And I'm sure there will be some government officials who would say that that's not how they perceive themselves. But that might be part of the problem. Okay, but let's keep going. B'yesh Daktiv. It's the second paragraph there in source number 5, third line in the second paragraph, around 7 or 8 words in. V'yeshu datik shelo amar shehem oavim b'shas hana'asam, lirmoz ki'af b'shas hana'asam enam oavim. So now he's medayik. It's a very careful reading here. What does the Mishnah say? It says, nirin ki'ohavim. B'sha'as hana'asam. It doesn't say that they are ohavim b'sha'as hana'asam. There's a difference between saying they love you when it's good for you, and then they look like they love you when it's good for you. So meaning, I could have said that they love you when it's good for them. That's one level. They love you when it's good for them, and that's a true love. They do love you when it's good for them. If it's not good for them, then they'll throw you under the bus. Right? That would be one bad level. But now we're saying even worse than that. They don't actually love you. They're nirin kit ohavin. They look like they love you. They're playing you, and then they'll throw you under the bus also. Right? So that's his careful read here. B'yesh l'daktik sh'lo amar shem ohavim b'shasan. It doesn't say they love you when it's good for them. L'rmozki af b'shasan asem enem ohavim. Rak nirim ke ohavim. They look like it. V'od shafilu madregas marim atzman ohavim lo yagiu. They didn't even get to the madrega, to the level of saying that they look like they love you. Sh'lo amar nirim ohavim b'shasan asem. It doesn't say that they look like they love you. El sh'nirim ke ohavim b'din yomah. Meaning even you realize that they don't really love you. So there's three levels here. There's they love you when it's good for them. That's not true. They pretend they look like they love you, and you actually, like, it actually seems that way. Like they do a good job at faking it. He's saying that you don't even buy it at that time. I mean, they're just faking it. They're just completely, totally faking it. So don't trust them. Now, you have to interact with them because you're serving for the tzibor. But don't trust them. That's number one. Right, so there's a trust issue here. That's really what the problem is. When we're dealing with the government officials, we don't fully trust them. So you have to be careful. Now, again, practically, what does that mean to be careful? It means, so what do you think it means? What does it mean to be careful?
Don't tell them more than you have.
Good. Don't tell them more than you have to. I'm not sure. We might see that in the later parish or not. But one parish says explicitly, like, don't open up to them. Don't think that you tell them something. They're going to spin that against you at some point in time. So don't tell them all your darkest secrets, thinking that they're going to trust you and they're going to do good for you. At some point, they're going to, you know, stab you in the back and get you because of that. Right? So again, this is a pretty bleak view, but it's telling you, be careful. Be realistic. Now, you could have, how else could you have said this Mishnah not as extreme as we just said it? How could you explain this Mishnah? Have these here barashas, Shane McCarbon, the other, meaning, do you have to read it as a fait accompli that this is going to happen? That this is definitional of government officials? Or is that you just don't know about that government official? And so far we've been reading it, it's like, no, this is MS. It's impossible for them to love you. In theory, I'm just going to raise the question, now can you actually read it that it's not that it has to be this way, it could be that they could be for your benefit, they could, but you still got to be careful. You still got
to
be careful.
You have to assume that this is a possibility.
Yeah, you definitely have to assume that it's a possibility, but you could phrase it in three different ways. Right? You can phrase it that, you know, it's definitional that they're going to stab you in the back. Right? You can phrase it that no, it's a possibility that they're going to. So, but what's the more likely scenario? Meaning, is it that the rove is that, you know, most of them are trustworthy and okay, but because there's, you know, 2% that could stab you in the back, you have to be careful? Or is it that no, most of them are out to get you, and, you know, there might be a few exceptions that are good. Either way, from this point of view, it sounds like it's almost an extreme that there's nothing possible.
There are two parts here. The first part is nirim ki ohavim. It's like. But the second part, ve'en omdim lo la'adam mishpat v'chako,
that's it. It's not nirim. Right. They don't stand up. Right.
That's why the first part, maybe the same.
Right. Way. Yeah, Lizard.
In this now day and age, we can read it broader. Don't expose yourself to the social media so much, because whatever you put there will come out.
Okay, so Laser is saying we can read a contemporary reading that's talking about social media. You have to be careful what you put on social media. Fine, good. I actually want you to think about that, because as of right now, well, you're giving a drash to this, right? You're saying it's nothing to do, not just the message about...
Don't see government as government.
Right, you're saying government doesn't mean government.
Yeah.
government means, you know, some contemporary application to your life. So I just want to jump off of that for a second, because we're going to see at the end on the other side some who do. Not they don't talk about social media, but they talk about non-literal readings of the concept of Rashut in order to give a contemporary message. And I think that's something that commentators have to deal with, because this message of be careful with government is relevant to how many people?
Yeah.
It's not that many. Be careful with government. What, even, let's say you're talking about the Oskim B'Tzarchei Tzibur. It's a minimal amount of people who this is relevant to. And most commentators, especially later commentators, who want to bring home a message for everybody who's reading this, are going to say, like Laser, let's read a social media read on this. Right? Let's interpret it as something else that's applicable to everybody. Because right now, it's not very applicable to most people sitting in this room, or most people in general, because most people don't have dealings with the government, and it's not relevant to have, for them to have dealings with the government. Yeah?
I'm going to say that government officials, by definition, have competing interests vying for their attention. So don't expect that your particular vested interest is going to get any more consideration than anybody else.
So I like that read. That's not what they're saying, though. Meaning, they're saying it's not just that they're competing and they're trying to balance different people's, you know, perspective. This is saying like they're really out to not be there for you. It's a little bit of a difference. It's a more cynical read. So it is a more cynical read. Your read, I'm happy to say that that's a possible read, but it doesn't sound like it directly. Yes, yes, and then.
I have an historical perspective.
So okay.
I'm talking about Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi.
Okay, good.
Who lived at the time of, if I'm not incorrect, after the Forbidden, right?
Correct.
And the Romans were in charge, and things were not good, and they were very suspicious of the Romans. But put it in historical context, sense.
Right, so in a historical concept, the context, they did have, and you should know that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, every context, that always happened, even before the Forbidden, that would have made sense. But that meaning, this is always an issue. We always have, unless we're sovereign to our own, unless we have our own government, and even then the message changes. When we have our own government, then it's a, you know, it's a Jewish question, and then the, you know, the same thing could be just a government problem. This isn't necessarily a Jewish versus non-Jewish problem, who's leading you, who's not leading you. This is a government problem. When you're in government, because you have these competing things, and because you need to stay in power and all that stuff, you just can't trust that position. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi himself did have relationships with government officials, because it was important at that time to create that relationship, but his son is telling us you still have to be careful. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yes.
Right. Have
proceed with caution. Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I have to bring the example that it's short with. I'm coming from Israel, and in the beginning, so many new immigrants came, and they stuck them in the Negev someplace, you know, Dimona, Yerucham. They forgot about them, and then before the election, they came with trucks full of frigidaires, wash machines, stove, and they gave everybody just vote for us.
Right. Yeah.
They took it and forgot about them until the next election.
Right. I hear you. Okay, one more and then we're going to move on. One more. Yeah, Barry. Right, good. Okay, good segue. Look at source number 6. Okay, so this is going to be Rabbeinu Yonah. What Barry just said is going to be Rabbeinu Yonah's read, and he's going to come from a very interesting perspective, a very interesting question, one that we haven't asked, but has to do with a totally competing perspective on government. Right, so far we've had this very negative and cynical view, and Rabbeinu Yonah is going to say, why are we so cynical? In different words. Let's see. Source number 6. Hebuzir Barashut Kilomar Litrachik Nashotonot Bimea Kedem Shlasopo Ritas Adam Minachasav Shaina Karbon Ladam al Tzorch Atzman. So he has here two words that I think I'm understanding it correctly. I might not be, but he says, as if to say, stay away from government, and what is that word? Bimeha Kedem. What does that mean?
A long time ago.
A long time ago. Right, so this is, you know, what I mentioned before is that when different commentators are reading this during their times, it might have changed, it might have shifted. I mean, I'm not a historian or I'm not an expert at this, but it seems Rabbi Yonah is adding those two words on purpose. Like, this is what the problem was back then, b'mei hakedem. Well, it's not the problem now? Maybe not. Again, I assume the governments weren't so great in his time either, but he's specifically saying, b'mei hakedem.
So, to
come after. Maybe, so maybe he's afraid of the government reading it. Okay, maybe. That could be. Shulasof moridin es adam nechasov, because at the end of the day, they're going to come and they're going to take away all your stuff, and they're only doing it for themselves. Now, keep going. Second line here, second word. Nirin ke'ohavin b'shas hana'asan, vein omdin lo'adim b'shas dochko. So they look like they love you, but they don't stand up for you when you need it. Be'ha'atzer aleihem yada mamon, av ki machmas ha'dochak lo yirachmu ala ani at shirudim in'achasov. So if they need money, they need taxes, they're going to take it from you, they're not going to have any pity on you. V'yishkechu ha'rishonos ke'akol chalaf avar, and everything you've done in the past is all forgotten about, and it's all about the present. I need your money, I need whatever it is that you have to give me, and that's why you can't trust them. Then he says, v'chachu ha'pshat ha'mishnah zos, v'madabar kein hu medaberes b'pgam ha'shiltonim. So he says, if this is true, if this is the way we're going to read it, then it's talking about the problem with government and ruling officials. V'chalila chalila lo yeh hadavar v'lo yakum. That's a pretty intense statement. He says, chalila v'chalila, that should be true. That what should be true? That the government is so bad. Right? Va'al yadam mitkayem ha'olam kulo v'heim osin din u'mishpat ba'aretz. Without the government, everybody would kill each other. They are the, right, it's another Mishnah Perkei Avos that says that we have to pray for the Shalom of Malchus, because without it, people will kill each other. So Rabbeinu Yonah is taking a totally different perspective. How can you have such a negative view of government? The government saves us. Val yadam mitkayem ha'olam kulo. The whole world depends on them. V'heim osin dinu mishpat ba'aretz. V'ein ish sheyuchal lios and they themselves, they don't have to flatter you. Right? Everybody else has to kiss up. But if you're in a position of power, you don't have to kiss up to anybody. Right? Keep going. They're not afraid of anything. So they can go, if they choose to go in the right path. So this is somebody, these are people we should respect. These are people we should honor. We should pay, you know, we should daven for them. Alkei nira lomar. Therefore, he says, I think we should say as follows: Ki hashiltonim gam ahavatam gam sinatam lo biadam hi. Whether we love them, we hate them; whether they're good, they're bad, it's not them. V'kasher hashilton tzarich ala ish mikarev oto marin lo ahava b'shat hana'ato. When a government position, a government official comes and becomes close to you in order to get something, mi es Hashem yotza hadavar. That's all from God. They're representatives of God. So they're helping you. Why are they helping you? Because God told them to help you. In whatever, however way it God influences. Belome is a shilton. It's not their problem. Vashem zimen liish mana also. Vichyefta ish lashem. Vashem v'ratzev l'doko. Umi yuchol ha'modo. Vavki achpot ha'shilton la'sosol yakar ve'em biyado. Ach l'nkom nikmas ha'shem l'yaseres ha'sher ha'shem v'chiyach. Etc. So I think the way I'm understanding Rabbi Yonah here is he's switching the message of the Mishnah. Why? Because of his understanding of what government is supposed to be and what government represents. So he's bringing in, even though he says it seems the pshat is that we're denigrating the government. But chalila v'chalila to say that, because we need the government and the government protects us, therefore it must be that the message here is not about that. It's about realizing that everything comes from Hashem, and don't be so against government all the time. They want to help you, they're helping you now because God wants them to help you now. This isn't them, they're just pawns in this. And that's exactly, I think, what Barry was saying. Yeah. Maybe they're also doing divine will because they're setting up dinim. Good.
Yeah,
that could be. Okay. Briefly. Yeah.
Yeah.
he's talking here more about a government which becomes changed and it cannot be strange. But today, there's a democracy. You can bring your own people into the government and get more your what you want.
Right, so maybe this changes over time if you do have the capability of influencing from the inside. Then maybe that changes everything, but then you still have to be careful. And I think that's the whole point, is that v'havi zehir b'rasha, meaning if you could get in there and try to influence, then you still have to be careful because you're going to make deals and you're going to make all your pacts and you're going to make all your voting blocks and whatever, and you're going to have to figure out, okay, how is this going to affect me later on? What am I going to have to give up when I need to do something? Because it's all a political game. I mean, it's a political theory, and that's what you just have to be careful about. Okay, good. What are the different time periods? So Rabbeinu Yonah's around 12th, 13th century. The Rashbats is a little bit later than that, maybe 14th, 15th century. Rambam's 12th century. It's a medieval time. So now we're moving a little... Yeah. So yes and no. So I would say that that's at the crux of what we're struggling with, is that if it just said be careful, I would get it. Right? If it said be careful because of what Freddie said, because they're trying to balance relationships here and you never know when they're going to not go according to you because there's a majority of people want something else, that would be something different. Rabbeinu Yonah's, I think, picking up on the fact that this Mishnah sounds very, very negative. It's very cynical. It doesn't just say be careful. It says be careful because they look like they're trying to help you, but they're really going to stab you in the back. That's a cynical way of looking at it. So he's coming back. I think he's pushing back. Again, maybe I'm reading this wrong. But I think he's pushing back and saying, let's tone it down a little bit. Let's be careful. But the message is different. The message is, let's realize that Hashem's behind all of this. And let's maybe have an appreciation for the government because they're representative of Hashem. So I think we have different perspectives here. Whether or not their historical context influenced their understanding of the Mishnah, again, we'll leave it as something to think about. But let's flip the page for a second and look at source number 7. So what the Medrash Shmuel is going to do here, this is a little bit of a later commentator who collects earlier commentators. I'm not sure the century, 17th or 18th century. I don't know exactly when it's written, maybe probably 17th. You could do a quick Google search and figure it out. But so he's going to collect some earlier commentators from him, and he's going to start going to what Lazer was doing, was looking for readings that are relevant to people who aren't connected to the government. So how can we read a drash, a sort of a homiletical reading into this, that there's a message about something for me, even though I have nothing to do about the government. So we're going to see three separate ideas, and we could apply it more to our lives. So look at source number 7. Inami, which means he's giving another explanation, so we're picking up in the middle of his commentary. Amar, hevu zehirin barashut kolomar shelo dai la adam shekayem divrei haTorah levad ki gam tzarich lo od liot mekadesh atzmo b'mutar lo. So what is the, how is he reading this before we read the next few words? So don't cheat. Instead of reading it rashut, what word is he reading?
Permission.
Rishut, when rishut means permission. So he's totally messing up the context of this Mishnah from its pshat and giving us a message that's relevant to us. Not rashut, but rishut. Rishut means permission. So he says there's different categories in Torah. There are things that are forbidden, right? And then there are things that are mitzvahs, that are commandments. And then there's a middle ground of rishut, things that are permissive. I'm allowed to do them. It's kosher, I'm allowed to eat it, but how much of it do you eat? There's no rule necessarily that says, don't overeat. Maybe, right? Or don't pig out. Or don't drink, four shots of alcohol instead of three shots of alcohol. Or, get 9 hours of sleep, stay in bed on Sunday morning till 10 o'clock instead of 9. So obviously, Zman Kriyas Shema and all that stuff plays a part. But there's a whole middle ground here of things that aren't explicitly forbidden and aren't explicitly mitzvot. And those are called rishus. Things that are permissive, we're allowed to do. Third line, afilu b'dvaram sheyesh lachem rishus min haTorah la'asos ke'inyon Laharbos b'ma'achalim. Even if there are things that are the Torah allows you to do. Eat a lot of food. You want to eat a lot of food. It's not necessarily problematic if they're mutarim, if they're kosher, right? Hebu zehirin bahem. Be careful with those things. Be careful with the things that are permissible. Why be careful with the things that are permissible? It's a brilliant read. She'ein mekarvin lo la'adam elu hadvarim v'tanugei olam hazeh. Ein mekarvin as adam lahamshech lo to'elas mehem ela litzorech atzman levad litzorech hatanugim atzman. They draw you in. Ein mekarvin lo la'adam. They draw you in litzorech atzman. The pleasures attract you because of the inherent pleasure within it. The litzorech, that's for their own benefit. Right? I want you to eat this cookie because it's good for you. The cookie entices you for the sake of the taste, for the sake of the cookie. Kilomar, sheyelech achareim levad, mishum, shenirim ke'ohavin, b'shas anasan. It looks like they love you when you eat it, right? The cookie looks like he's your friend when you're eating it. He's your best friend.
When
you eat the food and you're tasting it, you love it. It loves you. You guys are, you're really hanging out together. Nachas ruach oselo. It brings you enjoyment. Bishashu nana. That's when you are eating it. Aval. But. Lo yimshach lo mehem shum to'eles, it's not gonna last. Kihine, David Hamelach Lev Shalom Kisha Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechaneni Hashem Unaseni Begomer Behu Yisparach Amar Lo Shaya Rotzel and Asoso Binyan Erba. So David, Hashem said he wanted to test David when it comes to matters of intimate relationships. Uval kol nasha pelachshav laspias yitzro v'lo amad lo kol zeh b'shas dochko kisharaz basheva rochetzes benar v'yizgaber yitzro alav. So you think that, okay, so he went to all of these things, he fulfilled all of his intimate needs, but it didn't work. At the end of the day, he still needed more, and that didn't work out so well with him. Lo amdu lo kol osam habios shebal nasha v'pelachshav lasbio latzilo mi'avon zeh. Probably even made it worse. It was permissible. They were all his wives. He could do whatever he wants. But it was only for his own pleasure, own benefit. It didn't work out in the long run. So let's move it out of the David and Batsheva realm and go back to the food. So it's a little bit more neutral. So when it comes to food, so when you eat it, it tastes good. And then, so read the whole Mishnah now, right? Read the Mishnah back into it. Hevuz Himbrash, be careful with things that are permissive, like this cookie. Shemek Karvin lo Adam el Tzorach Atzman. The only reason the cookie wants you to eat it is because, it gets benefit. The cookie gets some sort of benefit from you eating it, right? Nirin ke Ohavin b'shas anasan. It looks like it loves you, right? You guys are best friends when you're eating it. Vein Odm lo Adam b'shas dochko. But what happens at the end? When you really need it, it's not there for you. Right? Meaning, it's probably even worse. It causes you pain in the end. So it's basically what he does here, big picture. The Medrash Shmuel takes this Mishnah that has to do with government and says, what does this have to do with? Your everyday life. It has to do with the struggles that we deal with on a daily basis and make sure that we don't go for the immediate instant gratification that seems in the short term so beneficial and so amazing, because in the long term, b'shas dochko, it's not going to help you. It's actually going to harm you and hurt you. So that's how he reads this Mishnah. I think it's fascinating, and it's a brilliant drash on this Mishnah. Let's see two more. He now quotes the Leib Avos. The Leib Avos kasav, ki akavana lefi, shaya medaber im haoskim betzibur. So remember our context, if you read it connected to the previous Mishnah, that we're talking to people who are dealing with community relations. Amar shiyizharu benetilas harashus minatzibur lekol davar shiyase b'shvilam. This is another brilliant read in the politics of a community. So if you're a leader, what should you always do? Be careful to do what? He reads Rishus like, not Rashus as in government, but Rishus as in permission, but not like the Medrash Shmuel where we're talking about things that are, you know, just gray areas that aren't mitzvahs, aren't averos. He looks at Rishus as permission
from the tzibur.
From the tzibur. So if you're dealing with the tzibur and you want to do something, here's a brilliant idea for you. This is, if you want to continue and sustain your relationship with this community, always ask permission. Right? Why? Let's keep going. Anything you're doing with them, for them, ask them permission. They didn't appoint you because they like you, or they care about you, or they want to give you kavod. That's not what your job is. What's your job? You're representing the tzibur. They're taking care of their needs. Vim kein sar shel yaseh klum. El im reshusan. You can't do anything without their permission. Kimo amisharis vashamish. Kshoosek imaim osa dabar lana asam. As nirin kohavim lo. Vulam b'shas dokek shelo ba'alahem hanal yado. So it looks like, you know, you do something that's good for them. It looks like they love you. It's awesome. And then what happens the second you do something they don't like?
Fire you.
Right? That's it. B'shas dokek. Shelo ba'alahem hanal yado. Ein omdin lo latzilo. Right? Whose idea was this? Right? So this is just good practical advice for a leader. Don't do anything unless you get their permission, because when it fails, what can you do? You told me to do this. Right? So the point here is that don't just think that when people appoint you to a position of leadership that they're doing it because they love you. Yes, okay, maybe that's part of it, but not really. At the end of the day, you're there to help them, and if you're not helping them, they're not going to stand up for you all the time. So this is a good political move to always ask permission before you do something. Again, I think it's
get it in writing.
Get it in writing, yeah. Always get it in an email, right? Before you do, get it signed in an email, you know, get it. That's it. I think it's a brilliant read also. Now look at the third one. Again, notice how both of them took Rashut as in government, and nothing to do with government. There's nothing to do with government. Again, so it's a drash. I don't think they would necessarily tell you that this is directly the shot of the Mishnah, that when Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Darasi, wrote this Mishnah, he had this idea in mind. But again, it's another reading where we can learn a lesson from it. And then finally, the third idea here, Od Kasav Sheshama B'Shem Moharit Zal Ki Rishus. Now, instead of reading it permission, he's going to read it as the Yetzer Hara. So how is he reading it? It's not Rashus, it's not Rishus, but it's almost like Rishus. Like Russia. It's like a Russia. Be careful from the Russia. Who's the Russia? The Yetzer Hara. Right? Ki Rishus hu ha Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer does whatever he wants, whatever he thinks is good, he's going to do it. So Rishus Gamor, also, not necessarily Rishus, he's reading it as that the Yetzer Hara has permission. He thinks that he has carte blanche, he can do whatever he wants. Right? So the Rishus Gamor, Kiasechel Ein Roy Lekaro Rishus Nechne Meshubad Al Yoshe, the Yetzer Hara, who Omer Beshrius Libi Eilech Bezulas Mesek Verasan Adam Hamamlech Allah. The Yetzer Hara thinks he's in command, he can do whatever he wants. V'hu'a Ose Komash Yala Alibo V'notel Zeh HaRishus La'atma. So he's not really reading it as Rishus, he's reading it as Rishus, but it's representative of the Yetzer Hara who does whatever he wants. Lizet Omrim, so if that's the case, if we're talking about the Yetzer Hara, so what's the message? Have Uzahirin Barishus, Lafisha Kochos, the Taibos Harishus Hazah, a Mekarvan Lola Adam Elitzarach Asman. So it's similar to the first read in a certain sense, that the Yetzer Hara is only trying to entice you for its own purposes. Nirin Kohabin Bishasan Asan, it's pleasurable, it's beneficial, and all the endorphins go off in your brain, and it feels good when you eat this, or when you drink this, or when you do whatever this pleasurable thing is. It's Nirin Kohabin. And it feels good. Kikain ba yetzer al adam betanos mizuyafos laharos lo shemit taivos yatzelo ezer v'siyua. That do these taivos things and it's going to be good for you. Ve'en adavar kain. It's not true. Rak ein odim al adam b'shas doko el adra b'nifram imen. It's going to cause you pain and suffering in the end. So it's a very similar read to the first concept of the Medrash Shmuel, but the main idea here is that things that look enticing, whether they're actually forbidden or whether they're just in the middle there, they feel good right away, and it's our job to be very wary and careful of those things and try to push them off, try to control them, because they're going to try to convince you and entice you that they want you now. And what is it? What do you need to do? And this is so integral to so many important lessons in Perkei Avos and all of Torah, is that you have to stretch that from a short-term gratification perspective to long-term, this is going to cost you. And now we'll end with, what does that remind us of? What did we just do two Mishnayos ago? His father said what? What did his father say? Right, we should do calculations. Right? What's the Hefzed Mitzvah? Can I get Sfar and Sfar Averik and all that stuff? It's all connected now. It's a similar message to what his father is saying, is that weigh your long-term benefits against your short-term. Short-term looks like it's beneficial, looks like it's great, looks like it's pleasurable. Long-term, it's not going to be omid for you, b'shas toko. It's not going to help you. It's actually going to hurt you in the long run. So that's the message. According to this drash reading, it ties in well to what his father was saying. According to the pshat, I think you see, just to recap, you see that the main sort of explanation of most people is that government officials, stay wary of them. How negative a view you have of the government officials, you know, might vary according to the commentators. Some assume the worst at all points in time. Some, like Rabbi Yonah said, you can't assume the worst. These are people who are represented, who are saving the world from, you know, annihilation. And the message instead is one of looking at God as being the controller of everything. For those of us who don't work in government officials' positions, etc., then maybe a more contemporary, immediate sort of personal gratification message is more important for us to internalize and go forward.